Grace to you, peace from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The value of a sign is not in the sign itself, but in what the sign points to. Jesus' advent as our Redeemer, there were great signs connected there. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The sign, the virgin birth. Or, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The sign from the angel to the shepherds on the fields of Bethlehem. The Redeemer had to come. The Redeemer had to come this way. If there was another way, God hasn't told us about that by his word. It wasn't as if God had a number of choices and he said, well, let's see, which one will I pick today? This is how it had to be when God sent his son, and these were the signs that would accompany the coming, the first time, of the Lord Jesus in the flesh. For the Redeemer had to take on our flesh. He had to take our humanity into himself. God would have to become man in order to redeem all men from sin and from everlasting death. And so, the signs pointed to him who would come as the incarnate God, born of the Virgin Mary. The signs. And that is a sign that is utterly mind-boggling. It's beyond comprehension. God becoming man, born of a virgin, with all of these signs? What human mind could ever think of or devise this? And yet God has the signs pointing us right there where he fulfilled those signs. And God did not want this beautiful event to be missed then either, because if it would be missed, it was a forever kind of a thing. And so God wanted to be abundantly clear about who he was pointing to and what he was pointing to and why he was pointing to for you and for me and for the world, so it would not be missed, like a highway sign or some other sign for a business that you drive past three times and didn't even realize that it was there. No, God wanted you to be absolutely sure about this one. And even more unsearchable is that this same Jesus would have found his work incomplete unless his work were made known, unless his signs really were out there for people to see. I mean, think about it. How sad would it have really been if God, incarnate in the person of Jesus, had gone to the cross and bled and suffered and died for the sin of the world to wash them away, and nobody ever knew about it. There weren't any signs. Nothing pointed to it. So it would all have been done for naught unless God had seen to it that there were signs that were marking what was going on. So, what great sign has God left to his church, even for today, to mark these great things that he has done for us so that we might be redeemed and saved forever? Well, he gave his church two great marks, two great signs, his holy gospel word and his precious holy sacraments. It is through these that God the Holy Spirit moves men's heart to repent their sins and imparts to their hearts faith that they might trust in the one who came to serve them and to give his life for them. And this Redeemer put that same sign upon each one of you, upon you. When you came to that baptismal font, you heard your pastor say, Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to show that you, to mark that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified one. And what did that baptism with water and the word signify, sign, the root word there, what did it signify? That the old Adam in you would by daily contrition and repentance be drowned together with all sins and evil lusts, drowned and die, so that the new man in Christ, the new creation, the new being with a new heart and a new life could come forth and arise and live before God in righteousness and purity. That is, it is to consume your life by the word and the promises of God, the signs that he has given for you, to consume your life, to live in that forgiveness, and to forgive your neighbor from your heart as God in Christ has forgiven you, and to serve your neighbor in the love of the good works that God commands for you to do. You find them very clearly in his commandments, where we have learned from the beginning, these are the works that God would have us do in loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, when we speak about the signs, as Luke did in the Luke 21 text, perhaps if you're thinking, and thinking along with the Holy Spirit and St. Luke here, you discover that the signs that Luke is talking about, you know, there will be the wars and the rumors of wars and the perplexity of nations and the, you know, the cataclysmic kind of things that he's speaking of in the text that happen in the earth. If you were listening carefully, those signs each point to some aspect of our redemption. In fact, tune into them carefully with your heart and mind guided by God's Spirit, and you will hear from God's word to you that these are the very things that took place when Jesus suffered and died upon the cross. The earth shook. The rocks split. There was an upheaval among the nations railing against God's Christ for us, as unbelief was rampant and the mockery and the cursing and the blasphemy against the Son of God. All of the signs that Luke spoke about there took place at the cross. Water and blood flowed from our Savior's pierced side. By water and the word, that sign there, God forgives your sins and gives you a new life. By the blood that flowed from our Savior's side, beneath the bread and the wine, and that great sign of the Lord's Holy Supper, he delivers to you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, to cleanse you, to renew you, to strengthen you in love and in service to God and to one another. The signs have already taken place. Okay, then, we have been promised redemption. Christ came, and he carried out that redemption for us. We are baptized into Christ. Our redemption is assured to each one of us. We are marked by his word and the washing of water with that word. So what more is left? Well, it is the completion of everything. To the completion at that day, the last day when Christ will come again to receive us together with himself, body and soul. For you and I were created body and soul. We were redeemed body and soul. We were baptized body and soul. The body and blood of Jesus is put into our mouths, body and soul. Our sin, body and soul, has been washed away. Our iniquity has been forgiven. The only thing that is left yet is the final redemption of our bodies that comes at the last day. And to that aspect of redemption, God has not left us without signs either. And the text recounts them nicely for you this morning. But our Savior of them says, when you see these things, when you see what's going on in the aftermath of what happened at the cross, don't be alarmed. Don't get frightened and all upset about all of these things and fret over them. Instead, Jesus tells us to take comfort. Learn the lesson of the fig tree, he says. Now there's a sign for you out there, a fig tree. Or all the trees, as Jesus follows up. The fig tree buds when spring ends and summer begins, right around that short time frame. When the trees are already budding, you know that summer is near. Well, then you know these signs. Do the math. Take comfort. Because when you see the kind of things that Luke speaks about in his text, you know that the end is near. How near? Well, Jesus is through the door right now. And he is about to step down into the room. He is that close. He's not standing outside waiting to walk in. The door is already open and he is already ready to put his foot down to the last day. He is that near, that close. Be ready, Luke would say. Be ready, Jesus would say. Don't let your minds be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, as the text read earlier. When you see these things coming, you know that the Son of Man is near. Well, you've seen them coming. They came at the cross. He is ready to step down. The end is near. When he ascended, he told his disciples he would be coming back soon. John, when he wrote his revelation, said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." He is that close. So when you see this day dawn, look up. Look up and see, is this the day? Is he coming in the clouds with all of his holy angels with him? Is he coming with all of his glory to rescue you and me and the world, body and soul, for himself? Stand up and lift up your heads in the great confession of our Lord Jesus Christ, because your redemption is drawing near, and Jesus is that redemption, and he is that close. On the cross, he paid for your sins and your salvation. He paid the price for your sins, for your unbelief, for your doubt, for your wonderings about where he is and why is it taking so long and why isn't he here yet? And Pastor told us to be ready because he's coming right now. He has forgiven us for all of those times we have lived as if he weren't coming back. Well, he hadn't been here for thousands of years. We still got tomorrow. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to worry about. We can do what we need to do over here. And there's Jesus will come. Yeah, we know that. We know that. But not probably anytime soon. Look up. Your redemption is very near. As near as the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is to you now. Just a little bit of time. For our Lord's holy suffering and death for us, his blood redeemed you. And he rose for you, and he promised he will advent for you again at that last day. It began for you, body and soul, at your baptism. And at that last day, the consummation of your baptism will indeed be there. For you, body and soul, just like the Word of God has promised. So when Jesus comes again, there's no need to fear, no need to cringe, no need to look someplace to hide. Look up. Look up. Look up now and fear not, for that time of his return will complete your baptism. And then the joyous celebration in heaven will begin. As you wait for that, and as you watch for that, wait and watch by God's word. That is where God speaks to you. That is the great sign God has given you, his word and his visible word in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Learn the lesson of the fig tree. Each and every time you rise in the morning remembering your baptism, each and every time you kneel to eat and to drink our Lord's body and blood, each and every time you hear the absolution pronounced upon you, each and every time you hear the word of God faithfully preached and taught, you know when you are hearing that your redemption is that close. Look up and rejoice, for you are already Jesus' own by his word, his promises, and in his sacraments. Look up in the faith that God gives you by his word. Jesus will never let you down, and his word will not pass away. In Jesus' name, amen.